Welcome, everybody. Sarva Mangalam, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I don't hear you.
Happy New Year.
That's a little better. And if you need to sit middle line here, that's fine. We have new faces because it's a new year. And more new faces, that's because it's a new year, and you have to start somewhere, and this is a good way to start in a new year. One of the resolution is meditate and practice. So maybe because of that you're here, some new faces. And then some familiar faces, those are my friends already, been friends for a long time, and we haven't killed each other. And I'm so happy that we haven't killed each other and we still like each other. So nobody is a strange, because if you're first time in this room, you might see very strange place with a lot of energy and strange people. But you know, strange people everywhere. Even you don't have to come here. If you go downtown or you go anywhere, you find a lot of strange people. So it's not new thing, it's just where it is. And it's not strange, so much strange, if you take it a little bit easy. If you take it a little bit easy means recognize they are your sister, they are your brother. Brotherhood, sisterhood, Dharma friend, spiritual friend. And they are just like you, inside and outside, or psychologically and physiologically. They are pretty much identical as you. And my belief system is that everybody is pretty much same. As a famous Buddhist teacher says, we are all avoiding problems and suffering, and we are all trying to engage in peace and happiness, peace and happiness, harmony. Now the question is how successful we are. That's something we have to figure out. So in that level, we are also same. Again, we are all same. Same, same, same. There's more people, so. So my message here is no one is a strange here. Everybody should feel like you're home. In fact, many of us here, this area, this place is a second home anyway. The first home is where you make a snore. And the second home is where you sit upright and pretend you're a good meditator. And pretend you know spiritual very well. Even though you have no clue what we're talking about. That's okay. That's okay. But as long as you pretend you're a good person, that's all practice the majority we do anyway. So, and I'm trying to be a very good teacher here. Even though you know I know I'm not a good teacher. But even though I will still try to be a very good teacher. And anyway, we have a lot of that there, that they are pretending and be to show. Isn't it when you get a job, work, you pretend that you are well-educated and well-knowledgeable. I mean, you have a lot of knowledge about the field, and you should get that job because of what you're looking for. And therefore, you give good impression by saying wrong word. but that's a different thing. But even though you try to say the right words and right impression, so they will be hire you, they will hire you for job. Well, in a group like this, it's a small group, but wherever there's a little group, big group, you have to be say, I'm a good person. Believe me, I'm a good person. Look at me, how good looking I am. That's each one of you. So you put a nice cloth. Idea is when you go to a church, when you go to a temple, you put a good cloth because you might run into many people. You're not alone. But the Buddhist believes that if you dress nice and look nice, fresh when you come, it's a part of practice. Part of the meditation, part of the whole classes is you look good, you present yourself really good so that your friends around who sit few feet away, they're all very happy to see you. That's because you're giving a good impression by physical appearances, just your energy level and all, it counts. All of them, it counts. Especially in front of the teacher and a shrine room, Buddhist shrine room, you want to present yourself like elegant. Elegante or elegant, like looking really good and sharp and your faculties are really fully awake. Your lights, inside lights, outside lights, your auras, everything is illuminating. Is that word illuminating or generating or illuminating in yourself? We all have lights. We all have aura. It is just some of them has a less. It is just some of them has a more. And they are much bigger than their real size. I don't know you notice that or not, but we do. I do. I notice that all the time. And some become more in a sense of bigger and more light and more life and more light and more life. Then others, not measuring the physical size, it's because of the package of what you are. The package of who you are, what you are. And therefore, that is something what the Buddhists, they say, it is the package what you brought with you in your reincarnation after reincarnation after reincarnation. It is accumulation. It is accumulation of good karma that going back to many lifetimes. Now consider it, each lifetime is like each breath. That sounds like scary, right? But the fact is how many exhale, inhale you do, it's the same analysis, the same metaphorical speaking, how many lives we take. Wow. Infinity, countless lifetime we take. So we have a good karma accumulated, and we have a bad karma also accumulated. Overall, we bring that package with each lifetime, and then you stuck with that, and then you deal with that. Now, question is, some people know how to deal with, they accept them, and they deal with them. Some, they're struggling, they don't accept them, so their life is miserable. They're always struggling. Struggling means fighting against each other. So, you're against yourself is the worst thing, because you can against the enemy, or money, power, or other issues, but against yourself is the worst thing you can do, because that will produce unhappiness more than anything else. In other words, you're not so happy person. In other words, you are very difficult to deal with. That anybody who come closer, they have to give you more space because they learn something from you. So, when you have a good, going back to the original talk, is the aura, light and luminosity and part of your spirit. Maybe it's your Holy Ghost, but whatever is around you, it's a very attractive, it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful, and make everybody comfortable, happy, then you're contributing world peace. Well, world peace start from person next to you, then next to you, then next to you. World peace start with a very, very small. World peace start with a very small, but it's a really big practice. It is an ultimate practice. Just like a fire start with the small. The cavemen start fire with very few sparklings, like rubbing two woods together, and eventually the smoke come out. And eventually the fire is so big, even rhinos, they can't handle. They have to run away, it's so big, like that. And house burning, forest burning. Well, it did not start with a big fire first place. It started with a spark, like very small. And that analysis go with you, your practice. Just because a small practice does not mean small at all. You have to start somewhere. And small things start. So, the package is we're talking about that. Last but not least is New Year, since it's still New Year is fresh, and it's a New Year thing, the resolution thing. Each New Year, if you survived, when you survived, and you are survived in the New Year, the 2015, a sense of gratitude, a sense of appreciation, sense of happiness is very important. And how you express that is you show gratitude to your near and dear ones. Mainly your near and dear ones means those who you deal with the most of your life, most of your time. So what you need to show them is show some appreciation. And appreciation can be expressed by not only physically, but mentally and verbally you can express that. No matter how poor you think you are, there's a plenty of things you can share with them. No matter how poor you think you are, and how broke you think you are, you can find plenty of things you can share with others. It is no shortage of things we give each other. It is a shortage of attitude. It is a shortage of mindfulness. It is a shortage of moment appreciation yourself. It is no shortage of material, because material, hundreds of thousand years ago, we don't have what we have today. And they survived. And hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, what they have, they didn't have what we have today. They survived. Now, what we have now today is still nonstop continuing moving for next to next in the future generation. In other words, 100 years from now on, what they will have is what we have now, it's nothing. Whether you believe it or not. So the way I'm talking about that is, it's no shortage of things to share with. It is a shortage of your attitude. It is a shortage of your understanding Buddha Dharma. It is a shortage of your mindfulness. There's a plenty of things you can share. So one of the New Year resolution is share things with your near and dear one. Buddhists might say, share things with your near and dear one, share things with those who need it, and then make offering to Buddha Dharma Sangha, means that contribution to the spiritual part of your life, whatever connection you have, whatever you can make offering as a part of practice, mark the year 2016 beginning and 15 goodbye. And in between that, you do that. So those are resolution. Another resolution that I would like to mention is change habitual patterns. What kind of habit we should change? The negative habit we need to change is a part of resolution for New Year. A positive habitual pattern, habituals, we need to adapt into, we need to engage into that. Now, some of you maybe have a problem of laziness, procrastination. And that's something you need to work on, change that. And a New Year resolution. Some of you have negative emotion problems. The negative emotion problem is so big, you're making everybody very depressed. You're making everybody very sad. That's not world peace contribution. That's a negative contribution, in my opinion. If you agree with me, you need to change. And how you change is, says, from today, New Year, for until next year, I will control my negative emotions. Even though when I say control, it's against the Western psychology. And I'm sorry. Because if you control your negative emotions, it's going to pop out in a given time. Like several months or several years later, it might blow off. Like try to suppress the volcano under the mountain. The sooner or later, it's going to be, is the word eruption? Mm-hmm. Eruption means boom, it come out. Like that. I think Western psychology have their perspective. I understand that. But from Buddhist point of view, that's not a very good solution, because every time it come up, you're expressing, you're practicing. You're practicing negative emotions, that how maximum you can do. It is not the solution, it is the indulging. If I may say that, indulging means that you're making fire bigger by putting more wood, then taking out some of the wood and put up fire, so the fire becomes smaller, so the flame becomes smaller and smaller. That's not you doing it from Buddhist point of view. Plus, the Buddhists also say habitual patterns, habitual. The habitual pattern is by repeating so many times, then that's how you become second nature. The second nature means it's become a natural, doesn't happen if you're not built with a habitual pattern. Therefore, negative emotion is you should not build with a habitual pattern, because then anger or killing somebody is a very, very natural for you. It's like that's what I do, Lama. I'm good at doing that. Let me know you want me to take care of somebody. I will encourage that person, says anything you do, but not that part for me. I wouldn't ask you to do anything like that. I will say, slow down. And talking about the life of Buddha, just a story came out of my mind. Life of Buddha, the Angulamala in Hindi word. The Angulamala is the person able to kill 999 people, and each time he kills, he take the thumb of that person, I think right or left, I don't know which thumb, and then he made a mala of the thumb, and he's wearing on his neck. And this is available in many Buddhist temples in India, if you go in Buddhist temple in India. Especially one in Saranatha, where the Buddha, first time, he turned the wheel of Dharma. First time he taught the Dharma, that area. And many Buddhist temples that are there, in the Indian Buddhist temple. So the story is, he got a wrong instruction or misunderstanding. The killing 1,000 people will spirit comes to him, and then he will automatically boom in heaven. So to fulfill that, so he was killing, and he become very second nature how to kill. Before the body fall down, victim's body fall down, the heads fly and land on the floor. So he's chopping the neck or the heads flying, all the heads flying. So just began to, he need only one. And he see his mother walking there. He thought, this is a good opportunity. I can just kill my mother. So he approaching towards his mother. As he approaching to his mother, and the mother was holding an old lady and holding a can and walking very slowly, very easy victim. So he's trying to approach there, but no matter how much he walk fast, he's not getting too close to the mother, some reason, even though the mother was walking very slow. Then he wondering, what's going on here? He look on the other side. He see there is a monk walking very peacefully, bare feet, and hands up in a gesture of a bowing like this. And he's walking very gentle and slowly and shining light. And then he sees he walking so slow, and so does his mother is walking so slow, and himself walking so fast, but still not catching up the mother. So he looked back and forth, and then he heard sound of the monks. It was so soothing. Soothing means so, like if you're burning, then sort of like rain and air, fresh air come out. That kind of feeling, like very soothing, releasing, like a energy, very beautiful energy. He's touching on. Then he thought, maybe the monk is doing some magic on me. So he yelled, and he's talking, and you better stop, or else I'll just chop your head too. And he's saying those, and then he is getting close to the mother. Now mother is a few feet away. And the monk is also very nearby him, and the side by there. And so he raised his knife. It's a big knife, and it's a little hook. And he wants to take off the mother's head. He's raising his knife. No problem for him. He's raising his knife. But when he raised, it's stuck on the space. It's stuck on the space, and then never happened before, and now why this happening? Just before kill his mother's head, take his mother's head. And then he looked at the monk was gesture like this, says, killing is no solution. So the peaceful sound come out of the monk, says, killing is not good. And when he hears that, his mind becomes like World War II, like all kinds of things happening. And in the meantime, he becomes so changed, he loses his knife on the ground. And all his energy to killing drop into like a low energy and a boom. And then this gesture of the hand, the Buddha was like peace and peace, peace gesture, hand gesture. He turned Buddha's hand like this way. He says, rise, stand up. And he stand up from the ground. Many things happen. It's like he was instantly in heaven, or he doesn't know where he was. I don't know. But what happened here is so beautiful. The whole world transformed into like a heaven, Devachin. And he rises, automatically he loses hair. And he becomes monk. No words exchange except hand gestures of Buddha. Change him from a killer, become a monk. This is how he took ordination. Ordination means no need to word, it's all action, through the action. He took ordination like that. And then he realized that all those people he killed was mistake and his confusion and his negative emotions. And Buddha says, you follow me. And he followed Buddha. The whole crowd is, look at the killer. The killer turned into lose his hair before he's too old. We lose hair when we get old, like me. But the killer, he was young a few minutes ago, but now he is totally lost his hair. And maybe he totally lost his mind too. Anyway, the whole society, community, especially villagers, small community, they say, you kill my father, you kill my son, we're going to revenge you. So they all throw a knife, weapons, rocks, But the Buddha says, you follow me. You pay the price, your karma. The Buddha walking peacefully with a gesture like this, and behind he was walking, whole community throwing rock and all weapons and powerful things throwing him. When he let it go completely, recognize the resolution that what he did was wrong, he recognized, he accept that I deserved anything you want to do, go ahead. Even you make my body become 1,000 pieces, I should not say, ouch. I should say, go ahead, I deserved. And that powerful statement, that all the weapons landing on his body, no longer weapons, as soon as they touch us, they all turn into different types of flowers and good stuffs and perfumes, wonderful, beautiful things. Can you imagine the man who killed 99, 100 instantly, that no weapons can penetrate him? He's a peace and happiness and following the steps of the Buddha. What happened here? This is in a history book, in a Hindu religious book, as well as a Buddhist religious in a book. And pictures and arts are available in many temples. To me, that is changing attitude. To me, that is transforming from negative emotions into positive emotions. And if you let it go, that level of letting go, that level of benefit you will gain. But the majority of people, we want wisdom, we want realization, we want a good karma, we want a good life, everything. But when it comes to change, we don't change anything. We refuse to change anything. Therefore, not so much improvement. The reason not so much improvement is you didn't let it go anything. I was attending Dalai Lama talk. The Dalai Lama is much popular than a person like me. So I brought his name here. The Dalai Lama says, 21st century, the followers of religion, spiritual, is you want the wisdom all you can get back to thousand years ago. All those wisdoms you want, realizations you wanted. But you don't want to sacrifice anything. You don't want to pay for it. You want it free of charge, you want that. In other words, you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to trade. Because the caveman came out of the first people. Until now, we trade something. If you want a good something, you earn it. You want a successful life, you earn it. And you want to change your life, you have to sacrifice and you earn it. And so, cause and effect is a part of Buddhist doctrine. Karma, cause and effect, and causality, and the multiple causes condition come together, including your body is multiple elements put together, and then you have a consciousness, your functionality. But if we take all your elements away, there is nothing else left in you. It's all gone. So therefore, that's the state teaching from Buddha directly. So interdependent and multiple causes and conditions come together. And today, multiple causes and conditions come together that we are celebrating third day of New Year here at the Buddhist Shrine Room. And I wish you all, and I pray all of you, you change negative emotions into positive emotions. I wish you share your collections, your accumulations, your material collections, accumulations, you share with your near and dear ones. And from there, you can share with those who need it. From there, you can share with the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, spiritual. And according to Buddhist doctrine, what you let go and share, it's what your investment. And what you keep for yourself out of greedy and selfishness, it's not so much yours, although you're using it, but it's not so much yours because it's not going to be there later. Because you didn't invest, yourself. So if you want to invest your good karma or the merit, what they call merit, then you share with those needed ones. You share with the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. You share with your near and dear ones. And then I know some people don't share with themselves or ourselves either. They are very, they're not very happy to do things for himself or herself. That's not very good, sir. That's very, not very good idea, because you should enjoy. Be generous yourself, too. Be generous yourself, be generous to others, and be generous with those needed, be generous to those who you're making offerings. And consider it those investment. Yinbe longju tenje de zeben den de zembe che root text sutra says, the abundance and the richness you're experiencing, it's not come without cause and effect. Which means you experience abundance and richness in your life, it's a sign of accumulation of merit in many lifetimes. Therefore, what you give, what you let it go, goes round and it comes round. And some people may not be rich looking, but they always experience a richness in their heart and mind. Some people might have a lot of things, they are always experiencing poverty. Because as long as you're experiencing poverty, doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you have, you're still poor. Because you're experiencing poverty all the time, shortage, fear, all of that. This message is based on a sutra. Buddha's teaching is the ultimate richness is ultimate abundance. When you experience ultimate richness, abundance is when you don't own anything. I'm not here trying to make you homeless. Many of us, we are very close there. Anyway. I don't have to encourage you. We are already approaching that direction. That's a joke. But anyway, I'm not saying that money is bad. I'm not saying good job is bad. I'm not saying you live in a nice home is bad. I'm saying is mentally, how happy are you? How content you are? The ultimate contentment, ultimate abundance and richness when you're experiencing, it's like you do not have attached to anything. Because when you have attached to anything, that brings you a little bit of tension and that brings you suffering when you don't get it. So when you don't have any attachment, you don't have any suffering. So why human beings are suffering in a samsara is we practice a lot of attachment, and that brings a lot of suffering. Practice attachment. So, he who owns nothing, he who has no suffering. Because he who owns nothing, he who has everything. Now, this analysis is not applied for homeless. Probably homeless is wanting many things in their mind. So therefore, it's not qualified. He who wants nothing, he who owns nothing and no attachment whatsoever, he who owns everything, because universal, that whatever in the universe, he feels that it's all surrounding with him, and he doesn't have to take care. It's always there to use without attachment. But it's available around you, yet you don't have to take care. And majority sentient beings, since we child, I guess the parents taught them from there. The parent says, make sure don't lose your pen, don't lose your pencil, don't lose your book, don't lose your bag, don't lose your lunchbox. Because they told them, make sure bring home. So that's how the parent taught them. And then when you're a little bit older, until now, you're well trained how to keep things for yourself. Not so successful, because when I look into your closet and your room, I can't find any valuable things. But you can say, Lama, that's all I got. Entire, I'm 30, 40 years old. This much I collect. There's not so much valuable anymore. So we're not successful collecting. But mentally, psychologically, we are trying to get more things, and never ending collecting. So I am saying New Year's solution is be happy with what you have. That does not mean give up your job. That does not mean that take a vacation once a year. That does not mean pay a little money for yoga and exercise and the gym. Those are all good. But meditation, watch your monkey mind, and straight out your mentality and your attitude. You work on that. That will be the best solution for the new year. And I want all of you, 2016, you do good things for yourself, for your near and dear one, for the community, for everywhere. For everywhere you go, everywhere you talk, everywhere you think. So that's the New Year resolution for everybody. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I'm supposed to teach it from the Heartfelt Advice book, but if something came out of my mind, keep talking, and time flies. And now I have a little time for question answer. If anybody have a question, and I know some of you are first time, you have a lot of caution, and then you raise your hand and don't worry, don't scared. There's nothing to scare. If anybody scared here, I should scare, because you are all white gangos. And I'm brand new Tibetan people. Brand new Tibetan people, different country, different culture, different everything, different. How we eat culturally and what's important or not important, totally different. And I'm trying to understand you. You should understand each other, no problem. So I should be scared. But I'm dealing with you. I scared, yes, but I have no scare much, because I'm dealing with all the time with you. So even you're not here, I'm dealing with without your presence. I'm dealing with you. So I shouldn't scared. So any question this morning, please raise hand. And also, if you get those books, the books are available, and it looks like I'm a businessman, but really, books, if you read and then bring questions, you will know me. Especially if you like to study with me, you cannot, not buying book is not good. You should buy the book, read the book. There are 4 or 5 books from this Lama available. And you should talk to them and read them. And that way, the way I present Buddhism, you will know more and understand more. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes. Or I was hoping new ones. Not the person the first time. Not the person first time. The 4 or 5 people invite me. One of them. In the Dallas, Texas.
Is there a new one?
New ones. Those of you are fairly new. You have any questions? New ones. Raise your hand. Any questions? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's really a question. Okay, this is my first time here. Excuse my neck. I had a neck surgery. So
you had a neck surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
So excuse my phrase.
Oh, don't worry.
But it is my first time here. I did get to go to Juliet's Jewels once and actually sit in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was just looking for Tina Turner on Roku.
Uh-huh.
I was just looking for a simple video, and I went from the story of her life and how she became introduced to Buddhism. And of course, the word appeared kind of scary to me.
Right.
And I'm, like I say, I'm very moved.
Right.
I feel in a warm spot.
Uh-huh. But just one question.
Okay.
There's a door, somebody invite them. What was the question?
Well, my question is, I guess, I'm not so sure if it's a question, but of my understanding of Buddha, which was Prince Siddhartha, and he got enlightened under the Buddha tree and all this business. So what I'm taking of all this, Buddhism, is it basically just about understanding your thought process in your mind and slowing your mind down and becoming more of thoughts and living more in the now? And compassion, is it more about the compassion?
Yeah.
Or am I?
Okay, enough. I think... You say enough, and see, I can say something on there. Now, your question is good question, and Buddhism is knowing your mind, understanding your mind, your right arm. The reason Buddhists are talking about mind is mind over matter. In other words, mind is everything, because who is happy? Your mind. Who is sad? Your mind. Who is confused? Your mind. Stuff like that. And Buddhists, they talk, many teachers talk about Buddhists is not even religion, it's a science. And of course, that perspective, they are lecturing and they are sharing the Buddha Dharma, the Buddhism. But when I say mind need to be calmed down, in order to understand your mind, you need to calm down first. If your mind is not calming down, then there is no way you can meditate. And a meditation is, ultimate meditation is knowing your mind. Knowing your mind means it's not a shallow, superficial knowing your mind. It's a very deeper level. Takes many, many years meditation to knowing your mind. Because the Buddha is saying, if you know your mind more, then you know more whole function of external, internal things. External things, internal things, you will know more if you know your mind more. Finally, if you meet your mind, in other words, acquaintance, like if you see your mind is you see me, means you see me, you see Buddha. In other words, you can say, I saw Buddha. It's the same way saying, I saw myself. Now, we look at the mirror, we see our body, right? That's not what we're talking about. The meditation is like a mirror to see yourself, not your body, but see your mind itself. That has been addressed, that has been mentioned in many times, and you brought very important question. So, of course, everything what we're talking about today, you and me, is a level of ultimately might take many years, might take many lifetimes, depends on how they practice, because of quality of practice. But in order to realize, in order to realize your Buddha or recognize your Buddha or to see your Buddha, you had to see yourself. And until we cannot see ourselves, there is still a lot of beneficials by trying doing that. In other words, you meditate every day, watch your monkey mind, and you watch that, and every day there will tremendous changing take place in you, even though you didn't see yourself fully yet. But you might even see a glimpse of this, of the glimpse or feel like that you saw something a little bit. But the more you advance practitioner, become advanced practitioner, the more you will have some experience you will have. And then when somebody says awaking and not so awaking, difference between living beings are not waking, and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, those are awaking one. Difference is that those, they saw their Buddha nature, fancy word is a Buddha nature, or you can just say saw their mind, ultimate level. Then once they saw there, they are the ones awaking ones. So the basically Buddha, when he was achieved enlightenment, he saw his mind. And when he says, we saw his mind, he said, I saw everything. I am supreme among two legs. And that means he didn't say four-like or six-like. He says two-like. And that means all the two legs on planet Earth, he was a supreme among two legs at that time. Of course, he is. So that means by saying that actually Buddha you see directly, and Buddha also say that when you see Buddha, then what your realization when you see yourself is not separate from Buddha himself. In other words, really, it's become one rather than two. It become one. Two and three multiple is it's called individualized. When we have attachment and ego, then we are divided, separated from rest of the world. So you become a unique yourself. But when they say oneness, or the universal oneness or Buddha mind, then you all into one. You can say reunited, but you can also say inseparable. There's a lot of words called inseparable or reunited or oneness. It's universal mind, Buddha mind. So that's the answer for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
I have a beginner question.
Oh, okay. No. I'm talking about when you see your mind and that you are the Buddha, that level we're talking about is what's made out of the mind is.
The emptiness?
No. The entity. We all have some intellectual concept. That's not the Buddha yet. Just let you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here because you all have some idea. Conceptual idea. So that's not the Buddha. Regardless what religion you follow, that's not God or that's not Buddha yet. You can believe all you want, but you're not there yet. Anyway, you again?
Yes. So
I have one here. Yes. Put into the question.
Okay. You mentioned in your talk about those lazy people.
Lazy people.
Oh, lazy in terms of not willing to give anything to get anything.
Ah.
How do you get from lazy to beginning practice?
Ah. That's what the New Year resolution is. You can say, you have to say, hey, I am 20 years, 30 years, I'm 40 years, whatever year you say, I was lazy. I want to do something different. This New Year, until next New Year, I'm going to make change. So you determination, is that word? You make a determination. You make a decision. You make a determination. Says, I'm going to change my habit of laziness. Let's say I have 8 hours of laziness. I practice every day. I'm not talking about you, so don't laugh on me. I'm talking about the people who are not here. And you can say, I can pick up 1 hour out of my 8 hour laziness. I can still have a 7 hour laziness. So I'm going to have 1 hour I pick up from laziness. Every single day, I'm going to learn new language. Or you can say, I'm going to meditate 1 hour every day. Or you can say, I'm going to do something that really beneficial for my health for 1 hour every day. Or you can say, I'm going to spend 1 hour with my children. Special quality, to sit down and with the loving, caring, and spending time. And 1 hour. Or you can say, I'm going to spend 1 hour that with my wife and myself, we're going to do something together every day, unless I'm in abroad or different country. So those kind of decision, I'm going to say 1 hour, I'm going to do. There's a Buddhist teacher, Tibetan Lama, helpless, alone. I'm going to help 1 hour every day for next 12 months. Whatever he wants to do, I'll dedicate 1 hour for him, do something for him. And if you fulfill that kind of commitment, and you build a new habit, your pattern, and the next year, definitely you'll feel successful, happy because what you did on 1 year for 1 hour each day, next year you will even do more and something else. So that's all. Another thing is that if you drink too much, not that I know, but if you drink too much because you totally lost the control, like you don't know how to control yourself and you keep drinking more and more, once you drink, they feel like home. Then more and more, if that happens, you make commitment not drink too much. Maybe you can reduce it once a week. And even once a week, you should know it's harmful for you. Therefore, you shouldn't try to pour into a lot. Just reduce, reduce, reduce. And a civilized gentleman, gentlewoman, like ladies and gentlemen, they do minimum. Little drink, that's good. Once a week, no problem. But you don't have to sleep next to the bottle. And you don't have to hold in the bottle says, this is my God. This is my Buddha. Buddha. You don't have to do that. So that's another way you change your habit. Another way is fighting with the husband and wife. Believe me. But people spend a lot of time with the fighting. Not that I checking every house. But I have my own kind of knowingness or feeling, seeing things that you don't have to go. So you're fighting a lot with your children or your husband, wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend. You can say a New Year resolution is that you will listen to each other. And one is really angry, the other would give opportunity to quiet. And one is completely finished, then approach and hug and kiss. Nothing else. By doing that one time, two times, three times, you're repeating because you're building habitual pattern for yourself. One time, two times, three times, uno, dos, tres, cuatro. And by the time for the fifth, the other person says, hey, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, no matter how much I was angry and fighting, in return, he kiss, hug, not say a word. I think I'm the one really bad. Maybe it'll click in. And that happened with dealing with the husband, wife, and dealing with the mother and father. If you don't fight back, listen to your mother and father, and they are the boss. You may make more money. You may have a little bit better degree because each year, new generation seems like it's changing. But that does not mean you're smarter than your parent. They may not able to know how to read and the language that you speak, but they're still their parent. So you need to listen to your parents and let them finish their talk and try not change their habit. You're not here to change anything. You're here to show love and kindness, just like son and daughters, that real son and daughter. That's all you need to do. You comfort them. Oh, no, Lama, my mother and father is dying. How I can they doing bad things? Or what to do? I try to change and discipline them. It doesn't work. And I try to fight and didn't work. And they begin to say, you're not a good son. They told me. So what to do? You're not a good daughter. What to do? I said, you don't try to change. And I said, how old they are? Oh, 80, 90 years. Oh, okay. I said, they had a great experiencing on longevity. If he or she can survive that long, think about yourself. Will you make it that age? First of all. Second, you visit once in a month or once in a week, you should show your love and respect, affection, not to try to change their habit. Even sometimes they think you're crazy, and they're right. And I haven't met somebody not so crazy at all. So they're right. But even they say you're crazy, you can just say, yes, mom, your crazy son, your crazy daughter loves you. You admit it. She's very happy. That's the best gift than any wrapped things that you bring, piece of bread or whatever. You bring flour, you bring things. That's a secondary. The first gift, the most important gift is your affection and love. And you visit a short period of time, you should listen, complete their conversation. Don't reject them. Don't fight back. They don't have to make sense. Don't expect they will make sense. Wait when you reach that age. You probably won't make sense either. And when I reach that age, I won't make sense either. And I don't make sense now even. So don't expect that there will be a prim alert and making scientific and everything what they say is accurate. No, they don't have to do that. All you have to do is listen to them. When they finish, approach. Give your hug, love, kindness, and appreciate how they brought you and they carry you. And a mother and father, especially mother, no matter how grown, successful you are, they always worry about you. So, New Year resolution is reduce fighting with your near and dear one, because you can spend that time other things, other good things. Because when you have fight one time, it lasts many hours inside your mind. I go into your mind. So, therefore, you don't want to, when somebody says you had a good day or bad day, usually good day, bad day depends on somebody say one word that you carry that rest of the day. So I'm saying the world outside, it don't expect that they are perfect. You know better because you are part of the Buddhist and you practice the Dharma. So you should have more patience, you should have more understanding, you should have more love. And that's something I want you to show them with your action. Action, actually, physically, and day to day when you deal with everybody. If you do that, you're a very good Buddhist practitioner. Reading book in front of Lama, you look fine. But outside there, you forget everything, not so good. Bring Buddha Dharma, bring the teachings of the Buddha in your life and practice every opportunity, every time when there is opportunity. So that's what I want. That's a good resolution for all of you. And then many people are very sad and you have a bad memory, tough life, or the year 2015 or 14, maybe not very good. Many people died. You lost many people. You have many things happen. And you have a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow you carry around. I'm telling you, you don't have to carry with you. I'm telling you, you don't have to be carry all suffering with you. Because when you carry with you, it makes you suffering. So you transform that into happiness. You should be happy that you realize that. You should be happy. You don't have to suffering. Those who are suffering, you pray them that may they free from suffering. No exception. And those who are seems happy, you can say, may all be happy, just like that person is happy. That person is successful. May all be successful, happy, that person. At that moment, you're practicing altruistic, bodhicitta, compassion. You're practicing. Opportunity is everywhere. If you do that, you're not carrying suffering and pain inside you. You just have to let it go. But if you find a solution, use the solution. But if you can't find the solution, then don't get involved with the negative storm, like tornado. Don't get into there. Stay outside the tornado of negative emotions. Stay out. That question comes with all the time. Lama, I want to help somebody dying or sick or something. I don't know what to do. Don't give more stress. He or he has a plenty of that. give her something she can use. What it could be? Love, kindness, compassion, understanding. Are you with me? Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
So thank you for everybody. That's a New Year resolution. If I don't see you until next year, you practice that. Because I can't attach anybody, because once I get attached, you will disappoint me. So best thing is, okay, I see a lot of people here. Maybe next year I see some of you, or many of you. Anyway, whatever. So thank you for opportunity to share Dharma with you. And I pray that you will have a 2016 is a wonderful year for you. And if the words of words that you heard this morning, it mean to you something, then you practice this, and then it benefit for you. The whatever level of benefit to you, if as long as it benefit you, my mission is accomplished. And that is only I expect. Thank you very much, everybody. Please rise, sing a song.